Scripture reading today will be from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 32 through 40. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in the deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, all of these, having gained the approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had promised something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone with us today. We're coming very close to the end of this series, looking at the heroes of faith as they're found in, mostly in Hebrews chapter 11. And we finally get to the point where the Hebrew writer just says, we could go on and on. We could go on a while here. But I think it's important for us to go back and realize, you know, remember that at the end of chapter 10, and as we began into chapter 11, all of these heroes are being provided to this group of Christians to whom he's writing that were going through some struggles. And he was doing this to encourage them and remind them that even when you're faced with a lot of different circumstances, your faith can help you through that. And so when we talked about people like Noah and Abraham and just the different people over the last few months as I've been doing this study, we can look at their circumstances in which they found themselves and see how they got out of it and hopefully apply it to different difficulties that we have faced in our own lives. So what Andy read for us is kind of the conclusion of this portion of his message. And he's at a point where he's saying I could go on, but the point is that there are lots of different examples that we can find throughout the Old Testament that can show us. And he mentioned some of the people that he mentioned. Gideon, who was willing to tear down his father's idols and lead Israel to victory with only 300 men total, took a lot of great faith. Barak, who served with Deborah in judging Israel. Samson, who we probably know maybe most of all of some of the judges, that his great strength was taken away from him. And even though it was his own fault for having his situation, being in the situation he was in, he didn't blame God. His faith stayed with him, and his faith is what allowed him to have his final victory. David repeatedly shows his faith in God, and even during the tough times that he had many, he was able to show that he could still rely upon God. Samuel, of course, is a great judge and was very faithful throughout his life and served him faithfully. He goes on then to describe some great acts that some of these additional, maybe unnamed, mostly unnamed heroes were able to go through and what their faith allowed them to do. And many times people try to go through here and say, oh, that's talking about so-and-so. And that's really not the point here. The point is the situations in which these nameless people found themselves. Now, that being said, there's several situations here that we can kind of understand who he was talking about. Stopping the mouths of lions could have been Daniel. His faith allowed him to survive the night in the lion's den. And so we can easily see some things here. The one that stood out to me was the resurrection reference. And I thought, well, who was resurrected? Well, Elijah brought the dead widow's son back to life. So all of these aren't just words. There are examples that we can find where that. The Son in 2, I was interested, I hadn't realized this. Isaiah is thought to have died that way. He was thought to have been cut in two during the rule of Manasseh. But once again, it's not important for us to know who these individual acts are, but it's for us to read them and realize that the situations in which any of these people found themselves, we can have their faith as an example. So if we look at verses 32 through 35, we can look and see what the common factor is in all these things, that, and so we can determine the point which the author is making. Boy, I wish we knew who the writer of Hebrews was, so I could just say Bill did this. You know, just the Hebrew writer. The point the Hebrew writer is making is that look at what these people did, and it was all being done through the prism, or, you know, the lens of they did it through their faith. They conquered kingdoms, they obtained promises, they quenched the fire, and so forth. All these different things that Andy read in these verses. The point becomes clear when we really think about what these heroes did when faced in these areas. The whole chapter is about how great faith does great things. And so the conclusion by the Hebrew writer is that they all had great faith, which allowed them to overcome these, in many cases, terrible things. Faith causes action, and faith caused all these heroes to step up and be victorious. So, what great things have we done for the Lord? What great things are we doing, or what have we done in the past? Honestly, if the greatest thing we do is just come and sit in this pew each week, I don't know that that's very, very victorious. We should be spurred on to do great things based upon the examples that we find here. We're not needing to take over nations and go stick our head in a lion's mouth or whatever the case may be, but it can be done in so many different ways that we can be found great by God's standards, by our faith. Earlier in the book, the Hebrew writer in chapter 5, verse 12, tells us that one area we could focus on is teaching. Hebrews 5:12 reads, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you against the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." That's one area that we all can be doing something. We can be teaching people. Be a teacher within your family about spiritual things. And not only your family, but the family of your friends. And, you know, anyone that you come in contact with should be a target for you to speak to. And we need to be teaching one another. But to be a good teacher, there's one thing that kind of goes along with that. You yourself have to be a good Bible student. Now, those of you who join us here at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning for the early service, that's probably not a criticism that many of you can have. You're a good Bible student. That means you're here and you want to be learning. So this isn't necessarily a criticism of those here today, but that's something that I wish others were here to hear. There is great value in studying the word and then applying it by telling others about it. But unfortunately, many adopt the principle or the attitude, well, that's what we have a preacher for. That's what we've got Alan for. That's what we've got Mike for. Well, that is certainly something that it's a good thing that we have here at West Carrollton, that Mike and I are willing to continue to do this and do the preaching and the teaching here, but really nothing can be further from that reality. We're all called to spread the word and to preach it to others. And there are any number of ways that we can do that. Maybe we do it, if nothing more, than by the example that we set by our lives. I don't think I'm the only person here who's ever had someone say, how come you don't swear? Or how come you don't do this? Or how come you don't do that? Well, that's an opportunity to spread the word, to share why you do that. And so that's an easy thing for us to do. And it's not necessarily not a great thing, because we're learning from the examples of these heroes. Well, today we could be the hero of someone who's looking for the answers that they have in their life, and we could be the conduit through which they can find that. So we should be spreading the word to our friends and our co-workers or our neighbors, inviting them to church services, asking them if they want to have a Bible study. And so we can, if nothing else, just share how God has impacted our lives and how we are able to maintain our faith. And that's simply by studying the word and sharing it with others. We can't be content. We don't retire as a Christian. Well, I'm such and such age, and it's easier for a younger person to do that. There's always a way that you could be helping people with what they need in their lost condition. And so we can't be content with our spiritual maturity, the milk and the solid food that the Hebrew writer talked about in chapter 5. We always could be looking for, that's pretty funny coming from me who doesn't look for new things to eat, but we need to be looking for new ways that we can be growing in what we choose to bring into our lives. And so great faith does great things, and we always need to be doing a kind of a temperature check on ourselves to see, what am I doing? What can we do better to help people see that? Well, the next thing that we learn in verses 35 through 38 is that we learn that great faith often causes great sacrifice. Right in the middle of verse 35, there's a change in the description of these heroes, that instead of continuing to discuss about the great things that their faith allowed them to do, it changes to the suffering and the difficulties that these same heroes, endured. And so if we look at some of the things that were talked about here, there was those that were tortured, and it says refused to accept release. It said they were mocked, and they were beaten and flogged. They were arrested and imprisoned. They were stoned and sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They did not live luxurious lives. It says they were destitute, talking about they lived in animal skins, that they didn't have great opulence around them. They were afflicted. They were mistreated. And then as we get down into the verse 38, after all these things that it says they endured, we're told of whom the world was not worthy. They had no home. They wandered about in deserts. They lived in caves, we find here. But the point that the author is making here is that great faith requires great sacrifice in many occasions. The author wanted us to see previously what these heroes accomplished. Now he's wanting us to see what they had to give up in addition to the great faith they had. It required them to make these sacrifices. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is kind of a different kind of sacrifice, but it's one that we have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves there. Paul is saying that our lives should be a sacrifice. And so we have to ask ourselves, so how am I sacrificing myself? What sacrifices have I given? For many, they have sacrificed God instead of sacrificing themselves. They're not here this morning. They may not be here. Many will not be here later this morning. They're on the lake. They're on the golf course, or you know what? They could be home knitting a blanket, or it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're sacrificing God to appease yourself, and so that's the first great danger, is whether someone even makes that choice to sacrifice God themselves, but there are others that, you know, just an example, that work takes a greater priority in their life than what they choose to devote to God. They're not willing to sacrifice money and wealth to serve God. They're not going to sacrifice their jobs. They may take a job where they are going to move where there isn't a congregation, and so they may end up going to a denomination because that's just what's there, but they feel they need to go. Whatever the case may be, they are not willing to make the sacrifice to the Lord, but instead they make a decision solely based upon human, you know, like a wealth pursuit. They won't sacrifice their comfort to serve the Lord. But we need to look at what we can do for the Lord and then make our sacrifice for it. You know, if work is causing us to stumble, then we need to take an evaluation on that. If our schooling or our hobbies or any activities, pursuits, sports, any recreation activity, if anything prevents us from doing the things, it's not just really, it's not to have, what's the word I'm looking for? We need to have more than just great faith. We need to be able to act upon it. And if any of these things are causing us to not be able to do these great things for Him, then we need to be able to give that up. Forfeit money, good paying jobs, family relationships, friend relationships, whatever it might be, we need to be willing to give that up and act upon the faith that we have. And then as we come to the conclusion here in chapter 11, verses 39 and verse 40, it says, when you do great things for God and you've given up these sacrifices for God, don't look for your reward right now. It's not an instant gratification element, you know, mechanism that's in play here. And we know that because we're told these heroes did not receive the fulfillment of God's promises while they lived. Now, when I was researching this, I thought, well, they received Canaan. That was a promise that many of them did realize. And yes, we know that they did receive the land, and they also had their promises of deliverance and victory fulfilled to them while they were alive. Joshua, the judges, and we know that many of them in their hard times were delivered by God, and they realized that. But the promise that, and I know I really thought this is what it was going for, but I did in my research conclude that, but the promise that's being talked about here was the promise of the coming Messiah. All of them showed their great faith to allow others to see their example so that they could have great faith, so that someday some of them would be alive to witness the coming of the Messiah. But it would not be any of these people. They were not there to see that conclusion. So what example is there for us? Because we aren't going to see the coming of the Messiah, but we've lived long enough that that has occurred. And so that promise isn't available to us today because it's been fulfilled. So what can we do with this passage to apply it to ourselves? Well, I think the important part for us today is that if we go out and we start teaching our friends and we, you know, bring them to church and good things are going in that direction, we shouldn't do that just so we get a pat on our back or someone says, boy, you're really bringing them in, or whatever the case may be. Recognition from our fellow man is not what we should be looking for. We shouldn't turn God's work into maybe a competition or just a selfish ambition, something we're doing just so people can recognize that. And I don't think we have to go very far to understand that this concept is something that the Lord Himself talked about. On the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, the first four verses, Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen of them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The only reward we should be concerned about is the reward that's spoken about here, not the ones that would look for the adulation of their fellow men by doing things to draw attention to themselves. Our reward should be just like the reward that these heroes have demonstrated that they will eventually receive, that heavenly reward. We should be looking for commendation from God, not from men. So, as we come to the conclusion of this lesson, basically just to recap, there are three things here, I think real basic statements that we can take away. Great faith does great things. Great faith requires great sacrifice. And great faith does not expect a reward now or human approval. All right, we've come to the end of the heroes. You say, well, the series is, well, maybe some of you are saying, great, the series is finally over. But we're going to take just one more lesson. We're going to look at the beginning of chapter 12. We learn about this great cloud of witnesses that is covered in the first two verses, I think, in Hebrews. And I know my Bible is broken up, and maybe some of yours is. After verse 2 in Hebrews 12, there's a new heading there in verse 3. Because, as we know, the chapters and the verses are put together by men. And this is a continuation thought. It's not a new, he doesn't go into something, a new direction in verse 1. And so verses 1 and 2 are, I think, really tie this together well. And we'll look at the cloud of witnesses in 2 weeks, I think, next time I have this talk. So at this time, Brother Pugh will lead us in a word of prayer, and then we will have our class.